Quote, you can help somebody, you can be compassionate, you can treat people with dignity or not. One way, you're going to become a hero, or the other way, you're part of the problem. End quote. George Lucas. Welcome back to the Resistance Broadcast. My name is John Hoey. Thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of the Resistance. We have a great show today. We are going to talk about maybe kind of people who were casted in Star Wars Episode 9, but not confirmed yet. And we have some announcements about the Solo Blu-ray. Of course, your questions. But first, as always, saying hi to the crew, James Baney and Lacey Gillerin. What's going on?
Oh, man, I'm excited to be back. We're working on a lot of stuff behind the scenes for Resistance Broadcast. We got the new episodes that are breaking out into individual stuff coming out on the YouTube.
Ooh, segments!
We've also got some other stuff coming up, but maybe doing some stuff with the comics possibly coming up in the future with Kyle and stuff. So, yeah, keep tuned in to the shows, guys.
Hey, how's it going? I'm a little nervous. Tomorrow I head to my first San Diego Comic-Con. Oh, God, what am I doing? Baby's first Comic-Con. I'm very excited, a little nervous, lots of Star Wars stuff. I can't wait to tell you guys about it.
All right, so a lot of exciting stuff going on. Obviously, like James said about the YouTube channel, different segments having their own episodes, so easy access for you guys. Also, some stuff coming up with comic reviews with Kyle Larson as a part of Star Wars News Net's review team. And like Lacey said, she is airborne tomorrow, heading to San Diego for her first San Diego Comic-Con. But don't let her fool you. She plans these types of events, and she runs these types of events, and she's going to be a big shot when she gets there. So don't let her try to...
Baby's first Comic-Con.
Yeah. Don't let her try to bait sympathy from you guys. She's going to be having a lot more fun than all of us.
Senior all right, guys. Con person. Yeah. She's been involved in cons for a long
time. She's conning us right now by pretending that she's nervous. So
Baby's first.
San Diego Comic-Con con. We have some poll results here, guys. Now, using our answers from last Monday's episode, we asked, what is your favorite John Williams track from the sequel trilogy? And my answer was The Jedi Steps. James said Kylo Ren's theme. And Lacey said Rey's theme. And 23% of you said Kylo Ren's. 29% said The Jedi Steps. So you guys were correct. And then 48%, a whopping winning vote, was Rey's theme. So everyone really loved Rey's theme. So they agree with you there, Lacey.
Hell yeah, they do. What?
I wouldn't say I was surprised by this, because Kylo Ren's theme doesn't really have a long track, and it doesn't have moments. It's more of like notes.
Yeah, I didn't know you were going to put that up as a poll, but as soon as you did, I was like, oh, I lose. Because Ren's theme is like, it's not a thing. It's an idea that gets brought into stuff.
It's like
have
the League of Shadows
song,
in Batman.
But the question was, what was your favorite track, James? So you answered wrong.
It
Boom.
Actually wasn't.
Roasted.
It wasn't.
Just
but
kidding,
either
James.
Way, I just figured I'd throw it out there and see what people thought.
Dun, 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 dun.
This isn't surprising, though, because... Rey's theme, a lot of people fell for, and Jedi Steps was just pretty much one moment.
Yeah, Rey's theme is the introduction of the new main character, so it's a big deal.
Yeah. Although I consider the Jedi Steps a part of Rey's theme, too, because it followed her into The Last Jedi, too.
Yeah, I guess, but I consider Jedi Steps to be like the wild card, like the Blackjack song that nobody would have expected to be a big hit, whereas Rey's theme is the theme for the main character of the movie. It seems a little understandable.
Well, our best comment, and I'm surprised none of us said this, but White Wolf at BMS said March of the Resistance is another great contender, and that's funny because obviously our theme song is a kind of a tribute to that.
Yeah, I also think it's
you
probably
You didn't finish
Behemoth.
The end of his sentence.
Oh, Behemoth. What'd I say?
Behemoth.
He also says, quote, but I gotta go with Rey's theme.
Yeah,
boom.
Right. He
roasted.
Said, but I gotta go with Rey's theme. Yep. So thank you very much, White Wolf, and keep those comments coming, because this is what happens. You get on the show when you have the most likes, and they did. So that wraps it up for the poll results. We got to talk about a giveaway announcement, guys. We tweeted out that if we hit 2,500 followers, we'll make two giveaway announcements at least. The first of which, we are going to be giving away... Well, everything is Solo related. So all these Hasbro gave us a bunch of Solo stuff. So
we'll see what I get from San Diego. Maybe we'll do another giveaway.
So the second giveaway we will announce next Monday, but this one that we're posting today, as you're listening to this episode, we are giving away all these figures. So you have the Force Link device, which I don't even know what that is, but I guess it makes the characters talk.
That's not how the Force works.
Yeah, I guess that's how the Force works. Lando Calrissian, Chewbacca, Kira, and Han Solo, and his speeder that we saw at the beginning of Solo: A Star Wars Story. All of those items can be yours if you simply retweet the post that we just posted. That probably has some kind of graphic from James that he created. And we're going to pick one of you to win it, and we'll announce it next Monday. So make sure you retweet the contest tweet, and that's it, guys. That's all you have to do to enter, and all of that stuff could possibly be yours. Not bad. Are we allowed to do it from our personal accounts? Can I retweet it and then...
No.
Yeah, work? I believe no.
Well, anyway, go into the contest. And speaking of learning something new every day, I think it's time for the Resistance Report, James. So let's see what's going on this week in the news.
It's the Resistance.
Not a lot of big stories this week, just that Lando will be returning to episode 9, no big deal.
What?
He's so
old. You sure it wasn't like he skipped a convention or something?
Yeah. So this news is actually not like 100% official. It's not coming straight from Lucasfilm, but The Hollywood Reporter is a pretty trusted source, and they are the people that say he is in fact set to come into episode 9, and they don't know, you know, what fashion or how long or anything like that, but he is set to reprise his role as Lando Calrissian. Billy Dee Williams, he's back, guys. This is pretty good news. Now, we know that Mark Hamill and John Boyega have also been counting down to episode 9. That's pretty exciting as well, but the news of Billy Dee Williams coming back. Let's talk about it. Lacey, what do you think? Good news or bad news?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, if it's once it becomes official, I'll be like super excited. But I mean, this is pretty legit. Yeah, I'm excited. We talked about this with Roka a little bit. You know, he's up there in age. I hope he isn't doing anything too crazy. but yeah, no, I think he'd be a good addition to Star Wars Episode 9. I think I saw on Twitter someone ask, okay, he better explain where he was when Leia put out the call for help.
Because
that's going to be an interesting side story there. Like, where were you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting, too. We're going to be talking more about what we think maybe his role in Episode 9 is going to be. But, John, I want to ask you, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the possible rewrites to the script. I mean, are you still on that page? Do you think bringing in Billy Dee was a move made late in the game, sort of a reaction to The Last Jedi?
I do. I don't think there was any grand plan to say like, oh, yeah, we're just not going to mention or include Lando Calrissian in these first two movies, but we're definitely bringing him back for the third one. That doesn't make that much sense to me. And that may be wrong. That's just my instinct on that. But I'm happy he's coming back. I think it's great. You know, he, like Lacey said, he's 81. So I think fans should temper their expectations on what type of role he's going to have. You're not going to see 1980 smooth, swindling, flying around Lando Calrissian anymore. So it's going to be obviously a reserved role. I think it's going to be a small role. We're going to talk more about this on Thursday. I know that. I admit, I absolutely love fan service when it's done right. And I think J.J. Abrams has a good idea of, you know, how far to take that sort of thing. So I don't think he's going to be like bringing back old rehash lines or anything silly like that. And he'll introduce Lando back in a good way to kind of give us one last good to see you, pal, with the salute. So yeah, I'm happy about it. But again, I think people do need to like really realize what type of Lando you're going to get in this movie. And it's going to be an 81-year-old Billy Dee Williams. So whatever you think is going to happen from that is what we're going
to
get.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to talk about Billy Dee coming back without speculating on what we think is going to be happening. That's why this is kind of this story is mostly a setup for Thursday's episode. If you guys want to tune in, where we really kind of deep dive on what we think he's going to be doing in the movie. I don't think it's bad. I'm actually kind of a person who said, I don't think he's coming back. I don't think it's particularly necessary. Same way Ryan Johnson said, I thought about it, and then he didn't really have a place, so he just didn't end up in the movie. And I feel that that could be kind of true. 30, 40 years later, I don't see that this character is super important. But then again, we heard from one of our fans a while ago that he's actually in, you know, Battlefront as a member of the Resistance recruiting. So I don't know. We'll get into that all on Thursday.
So Lacey, you were talking about how he had to explain how he didn't get the signal. And I tweeted out a joke, and you're not going to find it funny because you don't find anything I say funny. But maybe people listening will find
that
it
funny.
That
was the funniest thing you've ever said.
I tweeted out that he's going to come back and say that, you know, my transmitter didn't get it because I trusted them to fix it. And why didn't they fix it? I trusted them to fix it. Like his signal transmitter as a throwback to Empire when he said, I trusted them to fix it. Lando. Okay, so that's my joke. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I always love John's speculative tweets. He always phrases them like they're fact or something. He's like, here's what happens. Episode 9. Boom. Exclusive.
Lando walks into the room,
he says this line, he walks out, and he always gets like 45 retweets or something from it.
Especially if it involves Kylo Ren.
Yeah, and it's even those, because I think that that's speculation-based. The ones that always get me are the ones where you're like, I think Harrison Ford was a great asset to Star Wars. And that gets 150 retweets.
That's not speculation.
Those are the ones that I like the ones where you speculate, but the ones where you're always like, Anthony Daniels is a charm and we're lucky to have him. I'm always like,
I dare you to find that tweet, because I'm not a big Anthony Daniels fan.
Anyway, we got more stories. Billy Dee is not the only person coming back this week. Carrie Russell, who you may know from the show Felicity, which was actually put on by J.J. Abrams, The Americans, which is a show on FX. Am I right? FX?
Yeah.
It's a show? Yeah.
It's over now, but it was.
Yeah. Yep. I hear and see great things from the trailers and commercials of that show, and it looks awesome. I'm just not a big TV fan, so I don't get into that. This one was actually coming from Variety that's reporting it, and I just want to throw out there, too, that Variety initially said she is officially cast, and then they kind of went back on it and they changed it to, you know, she's being eyed for the part. So this news also is not official, but I think if it ends up being official, this could be really cool. Lacey, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Carrie Russell, that curly haired American sweetheart, Carrie Russell from Felicity and The Waitress and Americans in Mission Impossible 2 with J.J. Abrams. And then also she's in Austin Land. Any chick flick fans out there, it's awesome. Go see it. It's like a Pride and Prejudice remake type modern telling thing. Yeah, no, she's great. I think she's gorgeous. I really, really, really want her to be a bad guy.
I knew you were going to go there with this. I know you've been vocal about it. So give us the pitch.
I was one of the first people to be vocal about it, by the way, like 40 minutes before everybody else. I just think she would be really, really cool. First of all, she looks great in black eyeliner. Check. We don't really have a good... No, but all seriousness.
Does Star
really
Wars have a villain problem? No. Carry
us a black eyeliner? No, but I really just want a really badass, villainous. Someone to come in and just, shake things up. And how awesome would it be if she battles Rey? Come on, guys. That'd be so cool. I really want her to be a part of the Knights of Ren, because as I said last week, I really think that there's just a big gap where they had such cool characters in the Knights of Ren, and then they didn't go anywhere with it, and I'm just waiting for my little fun group of the Knights of Ren to show up. I think she'd be great, and she's shown that she can fight. She's shown that she can do these roles that ask a lot of stunts and whatnot, so I think she'd be really good.
Knights of Ren obviously makes a lot of sense in context to the sequel trilogy. When you said the Knights of Ren thing, I go, yeah, what would that be like? And I immediately thought of Seventh Sister, the Inquisitor. So then I'm like, oh, yeah, I could see that kind of too. Not that those characters or the Inquisitors would still be around, and I don't think they would bring them into the movies. That would be way too deep. But no, it's a good idea. John, let me ask you then, you know, we've got these castings that are still yet to come. We've heard news that there's actually two more castings possibly in the works. And, you know, assuming those castings and Carrie Russell are more significant roles, is episode 9 a movie that would be best served bringing in these new characters, like a bunch of new characters, two or three new characters?
I've talked about this before. I think it could lead to a lot of clutter. That's why I'd be surprised if all of a sudden we have two or three new characters who are impactful, big parts of the plot. It's very possible, and I joked about this, that watch Carrie Russell be a Stormtrooper cameo. And it's just like one of those celebrity things where it's like, there's Daniel Craig, he's James Bond. Oh, wait, he's in the movie for a minute.
There's Tom Hardy, who didn't even make the final cut. No.
Right, but now I don't think that's going to be the case, but I'm all about this, if it's true, though, in terms of Carrie Russell. And I'll be honest, I haven't watched most of her work. But I know she's a talented actress.
Yes,
I remember when Felicity came out, I was in my formative high school years. And I remember thinking she would be that girl I would walk into a locker door while staring at how beautiful she was in the hallways of my high school while I fumble over words and then fall into a deep, self-dissolving pit of embarrassment. But
that was very detailed.
Yeah, I think.
Are you speaking from experience, John?
Yeah, a long, long time ago in a high school far, far away. I actually want the Rey, she's Rey's mom rumors to keep happening.
Oh, please stop. Stop it. Stop
just it. Just to drive Lacey crazy.
Oh, my God. There's a woman. It must be Rey's mom.
I'm actually
going to
run a poll. Should I stop talking about her being Rey's mom or not?
John, you're so hurt by a simple poll about my soft, soft boy. Kylo Ren.
I do think it's funny, though, that don't you think it's funny that we never learn our lesson about these things? Like, whenever a new actor or actress is coming to Star Wars, it has to be related to somebody or something.
It's
like
Snoke.
Like Holdo was related to Rey in some way. Jyn Erso was Rey's mom somehow. Like,
oh my God, do you remember that? Because she was British and had brown hair.
Yeah, it's just, like, well, it's crazy.
Kira.
Nine times out of ten, though, the reason that is, I think, why fans do it is because they want to have something to connect it to, and they want to be right about a guess. I guess
sure,
it's Rey's mom, and it is Rey's mom.
They're
like, I called it. But
do you know why I think that is, though? I think it's because there's nothing else to do. So if you're speculating, you can't just be like, I think she's going to be a new character. What else do I say?
Yeah, exactly. That was the first thing I said, is that they want to connect to something that they've already seen before. So when you talk about, this was brought up like months and months ago. I remember I had like a really good example for like DJ or something. You know what I mean? It's like, what kind of a character do you think that Benicio del Toro is going to play? And it's like, I don't know. It literally could be anything. So let's just base it on him being, you know, this character or this character or this character in disguise. It's, I don't know, it's like a different Snoke or something. Who knows? I mean, Snoke's a good example. Yeah, Snoke can't be a new character because he has to be someone that we're familiar with. That's the only thing we have base to go on. So
yeah, the other thing people were saying, which I found interesting, was I believe it was in the visual dictionary from Pablo, where Snoke's description, it said that he trained other apprentices outside of Kylo Ren.
Yeah, like one other.
Yeah, I think it says at least one other, which is a super weird way to phrase it. Like,
right,
it seems
right.
Like Pablo's setting up with, like, maybe more, but we have an idea for at least one.
Yeah, maybe one. So, yeah. Like, someone had brought that up online, and it was a really good point that, like, what if she's the other one?
That's introducing a big can of worms to a movie that's supposed to be closing out this whole thing.
It's true.
Yeah, but maybe. I mean, we've talked about the fact that there isn't, if Kylo Ren isn't the villain, then you have to have another villain brought in. You know what I mean?
Easy,
right.
James.
There's always that potentially steady. Stay on target.
I was going to say, I kind of feel like the Knights of Ren are like there as the crutch. Like, if they can't figure something out, they're just going to use the Knights of Ren however they need to use the Knights of Ren to resolve something. So
I don't know. I think JJ created the Knights of Ren because in his head he said these would be really cool characters to utilize, and I'm just going to hand them off to the next person. And when Ryan didn't bite, he goes, well, dude, I'm going to incorporate those Knights of Ren, like, in my first draft of the script, I think.
Yeah.
But then again, they didn't get incorporated, and he goes, I thought it would be cool, but to bring them back now would be, like, old news. or whatever. Like, I'll let a book writer tell that story or something, or, you know, but not in episode 9, because the purpose of episode 9 isn't to create, you know what I mean? It's to close.
They haven't told any stories about them, right? So there's no comics yet. They even there's no action figures of these guys or girls or whoever.
There's one very small possible reference to them. People say, ooh, this could be the beginnings of the Knights of Ren or whatever, but I think even that story kind of got closed as far as like,
that'd be a cool comic.
Not the Knights of Ren. Yeah.
The Knights of Ren, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to see more about Kylo before we begin to dive into what he was doing at specific times, you know?
You're telling me.
Dude, right, I can just see, you know, if it's a few years down the road, episode 9 starting off with Kylo Ren, and he's right there with his Knights of Ren, just like fully training. In charge, just like getting stuff done.
The actual plan is to do a Transformers Last Night crossover, and it's going to have like Merlin, and he's going to be drunk. And it's going to be a bunch of Transformers with swords, and then also a bunch of like dark side users. It's going to be amazing. Michael Bay's doing it all.
Val would love that.
James is like, thank you so much for attending my TED talk.
Yeah. Val would start Transformers Newsnet.
Yeah, he would.
All right, guys. I think that's about the big news. We got two non-official casting calls. But there was a lot that went on this week besides those, and I want to send it over to John to do a Scoundrels rundown. What do you say, John?
Yeah, James, we are about a couple months away from taking home Solo to our home video collection, so let's get into it. Punch it! So it has been reported that Solo: A Star Wars Story will be hitting your store shelves or Amazon or wherever you get these things on September 25th, a Tuesday, which means James and all you digital download lovers are likely looking at September 11th as your ability to get the digital download version of the movie. So you're less than 2 months away from owning Solo. That's pretty cool. Again, this is not official, but based on track records and things that we've heard previously, we heard September for a while now. This date sounds likely, especially unless the person's that clever. It falls on a Tuesday and all media is released on Tuesdays. Uh-huh. So we're likely looking at September 11th for your digital downloads and September 25th for your 4K and Blu-rays for Solo: A Star Wars Story. So we'll be here before we know it. My son will be here before that comes. So, I'm going to plop him down and make him at least hear Solo: A Star Wars Story.
John, you're going to have a child Kylo before you own Solo on Blu-ray.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even finish this rundown. I'm kidding. All right. So James Mangold, the guy who is getting a little curmudgeoned lately about what's going on with Star Wars, he tweeted telling people to stay away from gossip, responding to someone who tweeted at him saying Boba Fett movie equals worst idea ever. To this, Mangold replied, chill, I'm making a period car racing movie with Christian Bale and Matt Damon. No Mandalorians involved. Even though Boba Fett's not a Mandalorian. Stop reading so much gossip. So he really came at that guy. But that doesn't necessarily rule out he's doing Boba Fett in the future, but he just wanted to come out and kind of say, like, stop reading gossip and rumors and, you know, however you want to read into that. The last story in the rundown involves Lacey a little bit here, because Chewie and Porg San Diego Comic-Con Forces of Destiny exclusives.
I need it.
A retail price of $49.99, available at booth. Lacey, write this down. 3329.
It's to the left of the Lucasfilm booth, if anybody wants to know.
At Comic-Con International in San Diego. Thank you.
I need it.
And it says, journeying to the sacred island of Octu, Chewbacca meets the Porgs. This detailed Chewbacca figure is lavishly furry and makes true-to-entertainment sounds when activated, while the Porg figures feature soft flocking that makes them a delight to hold and feel. This is a weird promo.
Soft flocking.
Yeah, and Chewie is lavishly furry. Oh, boy. The package carefully recreates the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, making it perfect for display and a sure to delight collectors and fans alike. It includes an 11-inch Chewbacca figure, two Porg figures, a Porglet nest with two baby Porg figures, and two accessories, Batteries are included. Good for you guys. Way to include those batteries. How about that? The Star Wars Forces of Destiny Chewbacca and Porgs will be for sale at San Diego Comic-Con 2018. Limited quantities of this item will be available at select convention and select online retailers after the convention in the relevant market, including HasbroToyShop.com. So keep your eyes out if you want this thing. And that is pretty much it. That is the rundown for this week. Thanks for checking in. Now we're going to check in with Lacey to see what you guys have asked us in hashtag Ask the Resistance. So Chewie, get us out of here.
All right, guys, it's that time again for Ask the Resistance.
I've been wondering, what are midichlorians?
You ask your questions, and hopefully we have some good answers. So our first question comes from Kylo10 at FullCrumMandor, and she asks, hashtag Ask the Resistance, when do you think we'll get the title announcement and first teaser for episode 9? Ladies first, I think we're going to get a title announcement soon, actually. I don't remember when I said before. I can't remember. It's been a long day.
My birthday.
Yeah, but I think we're going to get one soon, guys. I think, you know, we're probably going to get something once they start production, like they did with Rian Johnson, where they did that little video where it says now in production. I think we're going to get one of those, and I think we're going to get a title announcement probably sometime in the fall with a teaser in late fall, similar to The Force Awakens, and then we'll get another teaser around Celebration, which will be April. And that's what I think.
It's a good answer. Like, I actually forgot about the whole, like, episode 8 has started filming teaser.
Yeah, they did that when they were on Skellig Michael.
Michael Skellig.
Michael Skellig.
Skellig Michael.
Michael Skellington. Like
that island in Ireland.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay, our next question comes from OT Nix at This Is Nix. And this person asks, do you think episode 9 is the time where we will finally get to hear Maz Kanata's story of how she obtained Luke's blue lightsaber? John, what do you think?
All right, so I think this is one of those tweets of mine that James actually liked, where I do my little speculating. So I did tweet about this last week, and I said, we'll find out Lando gave Maz Luke's lightsaber after it was recovered on Cloud City. He will make a wisecrack when he finds out it has since been destroyed. Something about how kids today don't take care of their things. And then it will pan to the Falcon, which is all dirty and busted up compared to the Falcon he used to love back in his younger years. So, yeah, I think we're going to find out. I don't think it's going to wind up being that big of a deal. Again, I think it's going to be this kind of thing where Lando's like, oh, Maz, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's going to be this giant mystical story that we've kind of all built up in our heads. Shame on us for doing so. But I want to find out, so I hope we do. But, yeah, that is a good question. I kind of forgot about that aspect of the story, so maybe that's
one of those things that was brought up. Like, yeah. Again, that box, the box, mystery box that J.J. Abrams loves where... He sets up all these questions and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then the next movie, you were like, none of my questions were answered. Wait, they're in purgatory? What? Anyway, okay. Going
that's a lost reference.
Going back to our next question, we have Adam Odell at E.H. Odell. And he asks, is episode 9 going to address Rey's anger and aggression? Up to this point, the story has not presented those attributes as an obstacle Rey has to overcome. Anakin and Luke both had to deal with controlling their fear and anger. Will Rey? Hashtag ask the resistance. James, what do you think?
This is the hardest question I've ever seen on Ask the Resistance, and it is almost a full discussion in itself. I don't even know how I could begin to answer this in a short segment. I called my friend.
Two sentences.
We had a 20, 30-minute discussion, and we weren't even, like, touching the surface on this. I don't know, man. Like, at first I thought Rey was justified in her anger, you know? Like, she tapped into the Force, she came back and defeated Kylo, and it's like, yeah, the victor. But then I saw some stuff today. I know it was today, but it was like last week, I guess, when you're listening to this, about what it meant when Luke was defeating Vader and he was hammering him down, and then he decides not to defeat him and he throws it to the side, and it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper into what it means to be a Jedi and using the Force to defeat somebody. Dude, this is a deep question, and I'm glad you asked.
Isn't it defense never attack, right? That's the quote.
Yeah,
from Yoda.
And so that's the thing is, like, I thought I had this idea of Rey being like, she's justified. Like, Luke isn't getting up. He's not doing anything. He's being, you know, he's retracting
passive.
What he, you know, yeah. And no, he's not, I can't think of the word, but like, he's not being proactive. He's not doing anything. And that's aggravating Rey. And she's saying, you have to step up. We need to do something. And that's like a good thing. That's a positive thing that we're supposed to understand as a culture. When things aren't happening, we don't shy away from it. We're supposed to step up. And eventually that kicks him into doing something about it. So I always saw that as a positive thing. I also saw the like she tapped into the Force and she was able to defeat Kylo in Force Awakens as a good thing. But the book implies that Snoke is like, yes, kill him now. And he's trying to talk to her. And it's like a whole dark side thing. And Yoda would never do that. I don't know. It's just the whole thing just is such a deep thing. I got to say, I have no clue. And that's probably the best question I've seen on Ask the Resistance in a while. And I think we need to have a longer discussion. I'm throwing this out there to them now. They don't know this, John and Lacey, but I throw this up as like, let's talk about this. What does it mean when Rey taps into her anger? Because it's just too deep for Ask the Resistance.
It's an interesting thing that you said, James, besides that you mentioned that you were reading a book, that you said that Rey's is so eager to help, and that's seen as normally as a good thing. That's what you said. Something like, normally we would all do that, right? You'd jump in to help. If you look at The Last Jedi as a whole, the whole movie is, first of all, failure. But second of all these people jumping in to help, and all they're doing is ending up causing more destruction. Like, you know, Finn and Rose go to Canto Bight. They end up destroying Canto Bight, coming back, and then causing the Resistance to get in trouble with the First Order because they end up telling them about the ships going to the other planet.
Yeah, and I
and
think
then Rey goes to Kylo Ren, and then there's more trouble there. Like,
there's an argument to be made for that, especially in Star Wars. But I don't know what it means, like, in real life, though. Like, when things are happening, do we step up? Do we stand up for the people who can't stand up for themselves? You know what I mean? Things like that.
Of course. Of course.
We do our part. We all chip in, you know, stuff like that. We build our community, and we're stronger that way. I don't know. There's like a lot of aspects to that that you would normally think would be a good thing. But when somebody comes in and says, no, you're the villain, and they try to strike him down and they stand above him, they say, he's too dangerous to be kept alive. That's not the Jedi way, you know?
And right. It's just, and when, like, do you become the villain?
Deep question. When does someone who tries to protect for the greater good become the villain because they don't have compassion for someone who has fallen? Or I don't know. It's dark, man. It's a deep question.
Also the thing about being on this track of you think what you're doing is right. So leading up to The Last Jedi, all the interviews that the cast did, a lot of what Adam Driver was saying all the time was, my character thinks he's doing what's right. Mm-hmm. So it becomes this question of what is that, like, turn when what you thoroughly believe is right is wrong, no matter how much good intention comes from it.
Yeah. Like I said, I think we're scratching the surface, guys, and we need to wrap up the episode with the last question. But I want to give another shout out again just to Adam Odell. Like, that's a great deep question. And I don't think any of us really have the answer to it, but it's going to be fun to speculate leading up to episode 9.
Yeah, I would like to talk about it, just to put my 2 cents in here.
And thank you so much for listening, guys. If you want to...
yeah, if you want to subscribe, go to YouTube.
I'm curious to see if they address it in 9, but I do think we should maybe discuss it next week or something like that. It's a good idea to really open it up and try to stay away from Kylo as much as possible and focus on Rey. But it is interesting and something to think about, because, like you said, even though this movie's about resolving everything, Luke still had a lot of challenges in episode 6. So it's very possible Rey does too.
Absolutely. And I remember one of the the Reddit, like, I work for Lucasfilm posts, which I always love that sentence, you know, I work for Lucasfilm, so this is legit. One of the rumors was that Rey blew up her parents with anger, like, when they left her.
That seems more like a Rian Johnson thing.
Right.
That seems more like an Infinity War thing.
Well, that happened. Yeah. Well, it didn't really exactly happen, but it kind of happened in Looper.
Ray's dad is like, Ray, I don't feel so good. What's happening? And he just turns into like dust. Just like everyone's like overdoing that meme now, but everything, you know, I don't feel so good. And
Mr. Skywalker, so I don't want to
die. No, the thing was that she blew up, you know, she blew up the ship like when they flew away or something. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, going on to our last question, it's from Darth Hurricane at Darth Hurricane.
Nice. Way to get your handle. And also, I believe Darth Hurricane was the one who inspired our discussion that we had a week or so ago. So thank you. Yeah.
The one that I'm not a part of. Stop bringing things up.
One of the best discussions we've had in a while.
I hate both of you. Okay. And Darth Hurricane asks, which two characters would you like to see meet in some form, film, comic, book, animation, that we haven't seen meet yet? For me, it is Luke and Ahsoka teaching him who his father is. That's not mine. Was. That's Darth's. James, what do you think?
I am super bummed because that is my answer. Like, I can't even provide you anything more. Like, I've been thinking about Luke and Ahsoka meeting up for so long that I was having trouble trying to think of anybody else. And it's always just like, okay, then I guess Luke and Ezra. I think Luke is such a standard for Star Wars characters that Luke meeting anybody is awesome. And who else in a time frame where we don't know that a whole lot about Luke do we have to connect with? Well, Ahsoka's alive. You know, Ezra's alive, possibly. It's just that those two characters are the number two, number one and number two people that I think would be the best meetups that I could possibly imagine. But I'm sure you guys have other ones.
But you want that to be a live action Ahsoka, right?
No. I just want to hear about their meeting up in any way, any medium, because it's all the same.
John?
So I tried to think of two characters that are kind of similar that could potentially cross paths. And I'm looking at maybe it's got to be a comic or something just because of ages. And I was thinking of Beckett and DJ. And I was thinking, like, what if they cross paths in a criminal world sense back in the day? Obviously, before Beckett gets killed, so you're looking at like a 10-year-old DJ or something like that. But if you've ever seen the movie Paper Moon with Tatum O'Neill, like she gets with this guy and they become con artists together, and she's like a little kid, but she's street smart, and he like takes her along and turns her into a kind of a con artist. I could see like Beckett bringing this kid along and teaching him the ways, and then DJ goes off and becomes the dirtbag that he is.
Or like the professional.
Yeah, with Natalie Portman. And then, like, at the end of their comic series, Beckett will be like, hey, DJ, heard about a job. You want to come with me? And DJ's like, maybe.
You know, it's funny. That's kind of Kanan's story, too, is that Kanan was kind of brought up by...
You love Kanan so much.
I'm just saying. It's been covered. Like, he was...
Yeah, but this is not Jedi, dude. This is, like, criminal, like, dirtbag type of stuff.
That's what I'm saying. That was kind of his story. He after the Jedi, after Order 66 happened,
James,
he kind of was brought up in a scummy way.
Shut up. Lacey, what do you got?
I'm going to go different from you guys. I'm going to say I really want Hux and Rey to meet, because I really want him to say something like that he thinks is witty or snarky, and for her to just like punch him in the face.
So like, you want that would just still like, be like the goof, the like the fall goof.
He's not,
Elmer
no,
Fudd.
Not a goof, not a goof. I'm saying like, I want him to be like, you know, we finally caught you or some shit. And then she just like punches him in the face.
Okay.
I would love that.
But that
I just
would
want
be
her
goofy.
To have her moment where like she gets, that's not goofy.
She punches Hux in the face?
That's not necessarily goofy. Depends how you do it.
It's like.
But she hits him in the face with a pie.
Yeah,
see,
that's what I'm saying.
See, that's goofy. I'm saying, like, in a very tense, serious moment, she punches him in the face. Like, someone's got to get Hux back for blowing up all those planets and being, like, a scumbag.
Has a Jedi ever punched someone in the face?
I would rather Hux have the upper hand in that scene, to be honest with you.
She's not a Jedi, though.
Yeah, she is.
This was actually brought up in our conversation with my friend earlier on the phone, is he said he didn't think Rey was a Jedi, and I was like, ah, dude, I don't know how to argue against it, but, I mean... I don't know how you could possibly think that, considering the last lines that Luke says and they cut to her. But he's like, oh, I guess. Maybe she's not a Jedi yet.
I'm thinking of it as like, I'm thinking of it as like she hasn't gone through any formal training or anything like that. And but like it depends what your term of Jedi is.
Yeah.
James, this is a question for you from me. Ahsoka, it's like a big question of where she is right after Rebels.
How is that question Lacey not Gillerin, how dare you?
Lacey Gillerin at Lacey Gillerin writes.
Because I'm curious, because like I would love to see Rey get trained by Ahsoka, but I don't know the age length of Ahsoka and or if she's around or like what that.
Well, for me, if I'm answering the question, Ahsoka is the last time we've seen her is kind of like at an unknown date. I think we kind of assume that it's somewhere around like 6 years after Return of the Jedi. So that's the most, the latest chronologically we've seen her. So Rey might not even be born or really close to around that same time. So I think like, theoretically, there's a space of time where they're both alive, but I would like to see that ends up happening at some point. I think that would be really cool to have Rey and Ahsoka meet up. There's my answer. Rey and Ahsoka.
What's the lifespan of a Twi'lek?
Yeah, I think it's normal, but I don't think she would be like super old or anything. I mean, Darth Vader was. Old, dude. She was younger than Anakin Skywalker.
By what, 10 years?
So 10 years. So she would have been about 30 at the end of Return of the Jedi. 30,
so she's like 35. About the difference between...
So she's like 65 now.
Kylo and Rey is the difference between Anakin and Ahsoka, age-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she'd be like in her mid-60s right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
That's around what, Leia?
She'd be Ahsoka tired.
Okay, well maybe we can talk about that another time, but thank you guys so much for your questions. We really appreciate it. If you want to be on the show, make sure to tweet to us with hashtag Ask the Resistance. Once again, I got no Kylo questions. What is going on, guys? What is going on? Back to
you,
John.
Know. They're just not sending them in. It's crazy.
Back to you, John. John's all rolling right. His eyes. You guys can't see it. He's rolling his eyes so hard right now.
Nah. All right. Well, thanks so much, guys. Be sure you are, if you haven't yet, follow us on Twitter. We just passed 2,500 followers, so thank you all so much for following our Twitter account.
I have five.
Please subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube, and like and share our videos on YouTube, and leave a comment, because we do interact with you on there. Some of you have already seen that. Be sure to enter our giveaway. It is posted now. Retweet it. Win all of that Solo Hasbro stuff. That is the Force Link thing. I don't even know what that is, but it comes with Han Solo. It makes the characters talk. Chewbacca, Lando, Kira, Han with his speeder on Corellia. All that can be yours by simply clicking retweet to the contest tweet. So good luck on that. If you want some swag, head to tpublic.com/user/resistancebroadcast. Check out all of our designs. You can get that on a mug, a sticker, a book, a t-shirt, a pillow, a tank top. So many different options, so many different things to rep us and support us. So we really appreciate that. And as always, head to our website, starwarsnewsnet.com, for all of your latest news, reviews, editorials, information, and more. James Bainey, where can people find you?
As always, you can find me on Instagram at Myra Trunks, and also on Twitter at Myra Trunks, probably on YouTube at James Bainey. I've been commenting a lot on the YouTube comments from my profile, so it's getting a little more active there. But comment on the YouTube videos, guys.
If you guys want, you can leave comments on the different segment videos that we now post, and that is thanks to James Bainey right here, who puts those all together for you guys, so that you don't have to sit through this whole episode. Even though I really personally want you to, you can go to Ask the Resistance. You can go to the Resistance Report. You can bop around.
Who says bop?
I say bop. You can find Lacey at Lacey Gillerin, and Kylo doesn't wear shirts, and San Diego Comic-Con, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you guys can find me at Lacey Gillerin on Twitter. I'll be live from Baby's First San Diego Comic-Con starting tomorrow and then in through the weekend. I'll be live tweeting from Star Wars Newsnet from panels. I'll be attending the Disney Lucasfilm publishing panel as well as the Clone Wars anniversary panel. I'll tweet some photos from the Lucasfilm booth and stuff, and maybe I'll pick up some giveaways for you guys. We'll see what I can do. But yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm really excited.
All right. Have fun, Lacey. We will see you on Thursday via San Diego. So safe trip, and we'll talk to you then.
Cool.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Johnny Hoey and writing and editing over at StarWarsNewsNet.com every week. And we will be back here with you on Thursday, where, as James alluded to before, we're going to get into a deeper discussion about what type of role we really think Billy Dee Williams will have as Lando Calrissian in Episode 9. So be sure to tune in with us on Thursday, and we'll see you then right here on the Resistance Broadcast.